Raymond Bible Church, how are we doing this morning? Amen. You know, we were talking in the back, and it's kind of interesting that we're just about 6 months from Christmas. Okay. And besides that, but the reason I bring that up is this sermon I had prepared for a Christmas Sunday morning message this last year, and then the schedule got changed. I never preached it. So I just took the Christmas out of it. It's a good message. But the title is, Why Did Jesus Come? Why did Jesus come? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he did not come merely to visit us, but to redeem us, to restore us, and raise us to a higher life. Father, today as your word is preached, open our ears to hear and our hearts to believe and empower our faith to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of people know about Jesus. Most folks. Now, there's places around the world they haven't heard the name of Jesus. And really, that's why we're still here. You ever thought about that? You know, when you got born again, you became a citizen of heaven. Glory to God. And we belong there. That's our home. Wherever heaven's going to be, we're going to be there. Wherever the Lord, wherever God's on his throne, we're going to be there, wherever he is. But there's still people that need to hear, and so we're still here. But, you know, before there ever was a cross, before there ever was an empty tomb, there was a divine purpose in the heart of God. God had a plan. And so Jesus himself tells us why he came. I want us to look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Now, I'm going to read from the King James Bible, but I might take some these and thous and that type of stuff out of there. And for those of you that don't know, right as soon as I graduated from Rhema, way back in the olden days of 1984, you know, I think sometimes these new students, you know, I'm reading applications born in 2008 and born in, it's like, oh my goodness. And sometimes they look at us like we are the Ancient of Days. We are not, but we know him. We know him, amen? Glory to God. But, so here we're going to read this. The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. Now, this is Jesus talking. How many of you know we should probably believe what Jesus says? If he tells us why he came, we ought to believe it. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want you to notice some things Jesus didn't say. First of all, he didn't say, I'm come that you might survive. No. He didn't say, I've come that you might merely endure. No, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, the purpose of Christ coming was not simply forgiveness of sin, because God could do that and leave us in our state. It was the impartation of his life that caused us to be new creatures in Christ. So God sent life into a dying world. You know, when Jesus came, the world was under the weight of sin, sickness, bondage, spiritual death. Look at Romans chapter 5. Sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of where we came from, where God has brought us. You know, back there in Joshua chapter 1, God talked about all the great things he did with Moses, and then he kind of pointed his finger, in my mind, the way I see it, he pointed his finger and said, now Joshua, Moses is dead. Amen? But just as I was with him, I'll be with you. How many know it's the same God? Amen? The same God that in 1950 gave Brother Hagin a mandate, go teach my people faith. That same God is in us today. That same God is still causing us to bring hope, help, and healing to the world. It's the same God. Hallelujah. There in Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now we know what kind of death this was. It wasn't physical death. It was a death that separated us from God. We call that spiritual death, being separated from the source of life. But aren't you glad God didn't leave humanity in that condition? Because why? God is love. We all know this scripture, most of us at least, John chapter 3, verse 16. But I'm going to turn over there because I want to read it, give you time to look at it. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know, every once in a while, I got to get a hold of myself when I think, oh, I know that, or I've heard that before, or I can quote that. I've got to get a hold of myself and say no, because I don't ever want the Word of God to become familiar to me in a way that I take it for granted. You know, Jesus was so familiar to the people of his hometown, they couldn't receive from him. I don't ever want to become so familiar with the Bible that I don't receive what it's saying to me. How many realize we can all do that if we're not careful? So I every once in a while, I call it the carnal trinity, me, myself, and I. I have to have a discussion with me, get a hold of myself, say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice here that God, it's because of God's love that Jesus came. And why did Jesus come? He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God loves you. He loves every person who ever has and is breathing on this earth. God loves them so much that he sent his son. Amen. And Jesus came and gave his life for us. And if we believe in him, we'll not perish. But notice what we'll have? Everlasting life. That's that same life Jesus came to give. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We were separated from God. We were in death. We were in darkness. But because of the life of God and because of what Jesus did, we're partakers of life. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, King James says, and you has he quickened, hath, or has. Now, is that present tense or past tense? Past tense. We have already, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, just what John 3 says, if you believe in Jesus, then you have everlasting life. And so you have already been quickened, which means made alive. Say it, I'm alive. Glory to God. And he said, who were? Again, that's past tense. Dead in trespasses and sin. Child of God, we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We're made alive. Amen? Alive. Now that we know that takes place on the inside of us. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, give it the effort that deserves, reverence God, have this hope of heaven, purify ourselves, live a godly life. But we have to know that on the inside of us dwells the very life of God. He's in us. Before Jesus came, mankind was not sick spiritually. Mankind was dead spiritually. See, religion can't cure that condition. Education can't cure that condition. Human effort can't cure that condition. Because dead things need life. And what kind of life? Resurrection life. You know, if you had a beautiful lamp, and I know probably, you know, lamps, you know, it's amazing how much, I'm not talking to any of you that sell lamps for a living, God bless you, but it's amazing how much they want for a lamp these days. You could have a beautiful lamp sitting in your room, you know, it can be well designed, it could be expensive, it can be attractive, but unless it's connected to a power source, it cannot fulfill its purpose. Humanity was connected from God because of our sin, but Jesus came to reconnect us to the source of life. God's answer to death was not some philosophy, not some way of thinking, really not even some way of acting. God's answer to death was life. Jesus came to give me life, to give us life. We're not created. We never were created for death or lack or defeat. God created us to be containers of the life of God. I didn't give them this verse, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it said, and God formed man from the dust of the earth. And then God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. God took what was inside him. I do this quite often, but I haven't done it on a Sunday morning. Take your hand, well, any hand, no matter left or right. There's nothing holy about left or right. Unless you're Mrs. Hagen, she thinks left is best, but that's all right. Put your hand in front of your mouth. Blow into it. You felt something, right? But where'd that come from inside you? When God picked up that man that he'd made out of the dust of the earth, he took what was inside him and put it into that man. And man became a living soul. That was God's creation. But when man sinned, we lost connection to that life. And so a man eventually died physically. We don't operate in the way that God originally created us to be. We are created not for death, not for lack, not for defeat. We are created to walk in the life of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to give abundant life, not limited life. Let's talk about that. The word there in John chapter 10, have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, is a word that if you look it up in different, now I'm not a language scholar at all, and you know, many times just take the word for what it means, but sometimes it's good to go back and see how that word was used and get a bit broader definition. But, and the Amplified Bible brings this out, that this type of life is superior in quality. We're not talking about, again, not just the barely get along, low-level type of life. We're talking about a superior life. It's excessive in its measure. What's that mean? It means my cup runs over. Hallelujah. It means he's more than enough. It means he's made us more than conquerors. It's overflowing beyond necessity. Think about it this way. God sending Jesus was not God the Father doing the minimum. It was God giving his very best. Woo, glory to God. That's an attribute of love that sometimes we miss. Love causes you to give your best. When you love, you give your best. Amen. You guys, I mean, when you were falling in love with that lady, I mean, you did stuff. You did stuff you've never done in your life before. I mean, you got up in the morning, you took a shower, you know, and you got ready. You went to work. You came home. You're going to have a date that night. You took another shower. Before you met her, there were sometimes you didn't take a shower for 2-3 days. What do you care those guys at work if we all stink? That doesn't matter. But more not with her. Oh, no. You're going to give your best. Amen? And then you put the best clothes on that you had in your wardrobe. You put those on, man. You shined up that car or whatever. You know, you gave your best. Amen? I know when you got married, you found out you didn't know how to dress, but you did your best. Is she smiling? No, she's good to me. All right. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Look over in Romans chapter 8. So, and then sometimes if we're not careful, we think this giving aspect of God was a one-time event. No, God is love, so he's constantly giving. It wasn't just a one-time event. And when Jesus gave his life, he gave it forever. You ever thought about that? The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. After all he did, after all he went through for me, after all that he did, became man. Never stop being God. Don't ever think, you know, don't let anybody tell you that Jesus quit being God. All right? He's the divine man. The God-man, right? But what he did, and rose again and seated at the right hand of God, you think, you know, it's time for him to be celebrated. Yeah, we worship him now, but what's he doing? He's living to intercede for us. You find this out. The love of God will cause you to give forever. Now, my personal, just natural human love, I mean, I fall in and out of love with the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team every day, depending on what they're doing. Amen. But I will say it's better than being a Cubs fan, but I'm going to move along on that one. You can tell where I grew up, Central Illinois. Man, it's a war there between the Cubs and the Cardinals. But Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Our God is not a God of barely enough. Hallelujah. I mentioned to you Psalm 23, verse 5. They can put that up there. It says, thou or you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Amen. You know, and I don't care how big a cup you get, God can run it over. How many of you, you know, the church I kind of grew up in, you know, people, bless their hearts, you know, but the believing that the Bible is the Word of God and that what it, and is true probably was a small percentage of the people there. But, you know, you'd hear people say things like, well, now God knows what I need, and he's what I have now, it's because God knows that's all I need. If I had more, he might know that I'd walk away from him and all these type of things, you know. No, that's not what the Bible says. He says your cup runneth over. God is more than enough. And here's the other thing. He's not stingy. Listen, if your cup's running over, get another cup and let the overflow go in it and give that to somebody else. Excuse me, they may not have a cup. You remember when Jesus used Peter's boat? You know, he preached it and he said, okay, he said, let's launch out the deep for a catch. Peter's a professional fisherman now, okay? Not very good because he hadn't caught anything that night, but he's a fisherman. And he looks at basically he says, look, preacher, I do this for a living. We have been out all night and didn't catch anything. Now I'm drying my nets. And the sea, have you been to Israel, been to the Sea of Galilee? Pretty clear lake. You throw a net in it, fish are going to see it immediately. It's not like you're sneaking up on them. And so it's like, it's daytime, you know, but nevertheless, that's your word, we'll cast out a net. So they go out there. Jesus said, cast out the nets. Peter said a net. He threw one net. And so they go out there and they start hauling the fish in and it's sinking Peter's boat. He has to call on his friends to come over and help him, his partners, and it starts sinking their boat. Now, you know, like unfortunately a lot of Christians, well, didn't God know how many fish could fit in their boat? Listen, the boat's your problem. Amen? See, the cup's my problem. If my cup's running over, I got to get something to catch the overflow. Think about it. God's not wasteful. Have you ever thought, you know, when he fed the 5,000, why is there 12 baskets left over? I mean, didn't he know how much people were going to eat? Yes, he did. But God's more than enough. Hallelujah. And he can bless you more than you can think, and bless you more than you can think, and bless more than you can think. And it doesn't make any sense, but boy, it sure is nice. Amen? God reveals himself as a God of abundance. Malachi chapter 3, let's turn over there. God wants to freely give us all things. Well, when you get involved with God's way of thinking and God's way of doing things, just make this statement. I'm just kind of, it sure does work a whole lot better. I'll say that. But it works because God is good. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he talks here about bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. And a short little teaching. The storehouse here in our day would represent the local church, all right? Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, now notice this, there shall not be room enough to receive it. What are you doing, God? God's trying to reveal himself to who he is because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, superior in quality, and overflowing in quantity. Glory to God. You know, think about this. no godly father would say whatever, you know, wouldn't ask their child, well, what's the least I can do for you? So why would we think God is going to be that way? Love always seeks to give its best. When God wanted to redeem mankind, he didn't send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. Thank God for angels. Thank God for prophets. But he sent his son. See, that's abundance. That's generosity. That's the heart of God. Okay? Now, it's the cross and resurrection that reveal God's life to us. Jesus came to die for our sins, but he was also raised from the dead so that we could walk in a new kind of life. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 4. I heard someone say one time, if the child of God will learn how to live in Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, you're going to have a good life. Going to have the victory. Romans 6, 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. How many of you know when Jesus died, we died, right? That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, this life, it's the life of God. It's the life that God put inside of his man there in Genesis chapter 2. But for us, because of sin, we're a stranger to this type of life. So it's a new life. And how many realize it's a radical life? It's totally different than what the world's looking at. It's totally different than what we were looking at before when we were controlled by the lust of our flesh and of our mind and underneath the influence of the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You're still there in Romans? Look at chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 11. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, but, you know, you almost hesitate saying that because they're all good. Even the ones that I don't like. Love your enemies. Don't always like that. Pray for them. That despitefully don't always like that. How many know that's just as much the word of God as this verse we're going to read? Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. See, the resurrection was not merely proof that Jesus is Lord. The resurrection made his life available to everyone who believes. Any of you ever used a flashlight before? You know, a battery can power a flashlight, but the power plant energizes an entire city. The life that entered Jesus' body, listen to me, was not limited power. And that life that's in us is not limited power because it's the life of God. Hallelujah. I understand our praying, send the power. I understand what people are talking about with that. But you know what? You've already got on the inside of you the power of God, the life of God necessary to meet every need you'll ever encounter, not only in your life, but in those you minister to. That life is in you. It's resurrection power. It's the same resurrection life that now dwells in every believer. Say this with me, the life that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I walk in newness of life. Now say this, darkness, death cannot dominate me. Hallelujah. He's the light of life. Amen. Now what else from John 10:10 do we learn? That the thief comes to steal. But Jesus came to restore. Everything the enemy steals, Jesus came to restore. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, for time's sake, just the first part said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. God is a God of restoration. Several months ago, I preached a series on here on some Sunday nights, maybe a Wednesday night, on Jesus and him being the great the God of restoration. God is able to restore. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice the devil was oppressing, but God, through Jesus Christ, under the power of the Holy Ghost, was doing good and healing. The ministry of Jesus, he restored sight, he restored health, he restored families, he restored dignity, he has restored hope. You know, there are people, now I am not one of them, I'm going to tell you that right now, but you know, there are some people that are skilled at restoring damaged furniture, antiques, that type of stuff, you know. Look, if duct tape and WD-40 can't fix it, it's going in the garbage. We're having a bonfire in the pit, you know. Any of you grew up in a town where you could actually burn your leaves and had a burn barrel in the back, you burnt your trash, all that? Yeah. And we all lived. Anyway, just a thought. That's just a thought. No. I shouldn't tell this, but I will. But every year, my brother-in-law, who shall go nameless, Mike X, I'd see his house. There's a big plume of smoke going up in the back of the house. What in the world? Anything that hadn't been used in a year was being burned. I'm not lying. Sherry, am I lying? There's my sister. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? That man loves to start a fire. How many of you are like that? How many of you like, I like fire. Anyway. Amen. But when that skilled restorer receives a damaged antique, he doesn't throw it away just because it's broken. He sees what it was designed to be, and patiently, painstakingly, and really almost will suffer with it until it's fully restored. God is the ultimate restorer. He sees beyond all of our failures and sees his purpose. The gospel here is declaring what sin stole, Jesus restores. What hell bound, Jesus looses. What death touched, Jesus revives. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Our God can restore. He's the God of resurrection. And then finally, this morning, abundant life begins when we receive him. See, abundant life's not automatic. It's received by faith. Look at John chapter 1 with me, if you would please. The Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 12. Notice it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the privilege, really the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're familiar with Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice, all of this takes place. We go from death to life, from darkness to light, when we believe and we receive it by faith. Abundant life is available to all, but it must be received. A gift doesn't become yours in your possession just because it's offered to you. You have to take hold of it. You know, isn't that the great teaching of faith, that faith receives what grace has offered and provided for us? The apple tree. You know, have any of you ever eaten an apple off of a tree? I'm not talking about the ones that you buy in the package at the store. I'm talking about it's an apple tree, and you went out and you picked that apple. It's ripe, you picked it. You don't want them to fall on the ground. As soon as they fall on the ground, they're bruised. But you go out and it's ripe, and you pick. But think about this. You say, well, I planted the apple. Okay, great, but it was all God's design, right? Amen. All you have to do, though, is reach out and receive what's already been provided. If you never take hold of that apple, pull it off the tree, and I would suggest shine it up a little bit, put it in your mouth and take a bite, the apple will have no benefit for you. That's the same thing true with the life of God. It's available to us. It's available to everyone. Jesus died for the whole world, did he not? He's already paid the price. But that remains unopened until we receive it. The gift has already been provided. And as we said, faith reaches out and receives what grace has made available. For by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I had someone ask me one time, and I really hadn't thought about it. Well, what part of it's the gift from God? All of it. The grace, the salvation, and the faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God's word. It's God's plan. Say this with me. I receive Jesus as my life. Because Jesus is my life, I have received abundance in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. The life of God is at work in me now. Let's all bow our heads. If you've never received this life, or if you need to return to it, today's your day. Today is the day for you to take part in what Jesus has done for you. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or to say it the way we talk today, you've never received this life that was made available because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God, then today's your day. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. All you have to do is receive. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything else but receive it today. But if you're here, you might be here, you say, well, you know, I have made a decision for the Lord, but to be honest with you, I really haven't been walking with the Lord, and I'd just like to make a public declaration of my rededication to live according to that life. Or if you're here this morning and you come to church, but you just don't know. How many of you know you should know whether or not you're a Christian. You should know whether or not you have that life in you. Any of those invitations, you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, you want to rededicate your life, or you want to have a no-so experience, right where you're seated, I just want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Make sure. We got one hand right over here. Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this one that has their hand up? Anyone else? I'm going to come down front here. As Pastor Hagin says, if you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, stand on up right now. This one, that one that raised your hand, would you please come down here and meet me? If you wanted to, come on down here if you would, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome. So glad you came. Amen. You know, everything Jesus did, if it was just you, he would have done it. That's how much he loves you. Amen. I'm going to pray with you here. They're going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where they're going to talk with you, make sure you get everything you want, give you some books that we've got for you. All right? I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you right now for my dear brother. What's your name, sir? Micah. Father, I pray for Micah right now in the mighty name of Jesus. He won't leave here, Father God, without everything that he has need of. Thank you, Father God, for the new birth and no-soul experience. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Micah, look over here. You see David there? Go with him. He's our prayer worker today. Amen. Give Micah a great big hand clap. I caught him off guard.
I've got the life of God in me.
Stand up, let's sing this.
I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life.
Glad glad you got the life of God in you. Amen. Before we go, when I was down here, and I've been struggling whether or not to share this, but I just, right now, the Lord said, share it. I heard this, and I don't have stuff all the time, but when I do, if I have the opportunity, I'm going to speak it out. There's about ready to be a shout. There's about to be a shout. For God is bringing us out. And things that looked so bleak will soon become weak. There's about to be a shout. Hallelujah. 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 I remember the children of Israel walked around the wall 6 days, didn't make a sound. But on that seventh day, seventh day is coming for Rhema Bible Church. Seventh day is coming for you. Seventh day is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's about to be a shout. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Our pastor, first-time guest, did we have any this morning? Go with our connection team. Pastors are going to the doors. God bless you. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night. Hour of power there. You can see where the different ones are going to be. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave here today.
I've got the life of God in me.